It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up on this Tuesday edition, we are going to look back on Monday Night Football, the return of Russell Wilson to Seattle, and there is a lot to get into. There's the boos from the Seattle fans, the back and forth between Russ, Pete Carroll, and the organization. Also, the clock management of Nathaniel Hackett and the Denver Broncos. A lot of suspect decisions there. We're going to have that. Plus, a look back on some other news and notes, injury-wise, from around the NFL, and what happened in Austin, Texas over the weekend. We'll get into that for you. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe next here. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and you, Fox Sports Radio.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Throw it up, Birdo! Throw it up! Yeah.
Throw the hooks up. Throw them pros. Hooks up. Yeah.
Two pros and a cup of Joe. Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here. You can hang out with us
as always
on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of affiliates across the country. And wherever you are, making us a part of your Tuesday morning, we appreciate you doing so. And we are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific. And we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com. Studios, TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Man, how about that Russell Wilson, huh? How about it?
I mean, he's definitely a showsman.
Fan favorite. You know,
the came shiny in. Suit.
Where do we want to start with this?
I really, let's start.
I'll say the conversation started before the game started.
Yeah, the shiny suit.
I mean, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
Was he going to the prom? Homecoming?
Yeah. Apparently, they put more time and energy into his suit than he did the clock management at the end of the game.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's a great point.
Let's just break it down for a second, though. What was it that did it too much for you? Was it the color of the suit, the texture?
Because
it was the bow tie for me.
Yeah, and the shoes. Like, it was all very Mace-like, very bad boy.
Ooh,
take that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
I hear you.
Shiny suit, man. You know what I mean?
It was the bow tie for me, man. Like, had he just worn a tie, I'd have been like, all right. Like, I don't care how shiny it is. I don't care what his shoes looked like. The bow tie was the thing that threw me off that I was like, oh, man. Like, that's just not a look. That's not like a football look. And I know there's some guys out there who have the whole bow tie thing and all that. I'm not a bow tie guy. It just kind of sends off like I don't know. I hate to say this and not look like a meathead, but
douchebag.
I was gonna say nerdy, but okay. Either way, it ain't football. I was more taken back by, like, I saw the boats. I was like, oh God.
It was the sunglasses for me.
It was just
inside.
Did the walk do it too?
It wasn't even just the sunglasses inside. They look like liquor store or Lokes. Like you ever buy a pair of Lokes at a liquor store? They weren't even like Ray-Bans or like a reputable brand.
Mr. Unlimited
sunglasses.
You got to be unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited with your spending, because he walked in with $18 in his pocket, said, "Can I get a pair of Lokes and the rest on number 3?" And then walked out and decided, "I'm going to wear that when I go to Seattle."
What?
Come on, man.
So what?
You can't do something different than a pair of Lokes with $250 million or whatever he got?
I mean, that suit was probably like $10,000 a shine.
Yeah.
I don't care how much it was. That doesn't make it look good.
Yeah,
but you got to pay for the bling. You know what I mean?
I've seen plenty of people. You walk in the living room, and go, "Oh, it's a really nice it's a really expensive couch. It looks like crap. It looks like you used one of your curtains to make a couch out of it." I don't care how expensive it is, how comfortable it is. It looks like crap, and I don't care.
Would you have given him more credit? I would have actually respected him more if he had like a ruffled undershirt, you know, like the old prom pictures, to where there would be like the ruffles on the there'd be like some puff to them. You know what I mean? There was like a different.
It's a Seinfeld episode, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I just remember Tom. Yeah, not really. Because I like
makes
good
you
stuff.
So unrelatable.
You know, listen, I like good
so
stuff.
So unrelatable.
I like good shows.
That suit wasn't relatable.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
It wasn't at all.
No, it was not.
Or
all right, so can we get into the game?
Okay.
Because, like, there's a few things. Like, I was happy for Geno Smith. Like, I really was.
He was into it.
Well, they made a big story about that. I was with him his rookie season. And I can promise you this. That young man has grown up so much. Like, he really has. Like, from where he was his rookie year, first star at home versus Tampa, and his habits and all that, to where he's at now. And it's one of the reasons why he's probably still in the league getting an opportunity, besides the fact that he is talented. I mean, that dude can spin it. I said that from day one. I said, I don't know if the mental stuff and the maturity will come around, but he could spin it. He always could sling around the football. And he was able to mature and hang on long enough and be in a good situation, too, where he finally got that shot, where he was, from a maturity standpoint, ready but prepared for the moment. So – good for Geno. I mean, he really did in the beginning of that game. Like, to me, the way he played, it, like, set the tone for the rest of the game, how it was going to go.
That was the most animated I've ever seen him in his entire career. The most, like, vocal, the most, you know, out of himself that I've ever seen Geno Smith. He's generally been, like, an internal type of guy. Very, like, almost, like, nonchalant in the way he appears to you. So the fact that he was into it the way that he was into it, I think, said a lot. I mean, he clearly made it super, super apparent that he was, you know, just ecstatic about having the opportunity. But, you know, the interesting thing was this is a talented Denver Broncos team that went into Seattle to play. And then, you know, you lose player, you lose Jamal Adams. He rolls out. This didn't seem like this was a probable game for Seattle, but I think my takeaway was, again, I want to know, what is Russell Wilson, and I've said this before in shows prior, I want to know what and who Russell Wilson is as a Denver Bronco. And I'm not going to cast any judgments just yet. I mean, I thought he played a pretty good game. I don't think that he played a bad game at all. They faltered in the red zone way too much. Too many mistakes.
Goal line. Red zone.
Yeah.
Goal line.
Goal line. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how many? Like, here's the thing, that there's gonna be optimism for Seahawks fans. It's like, oh, you know, 1-0. You get a nice win at home versus the Broncos. All that. You got two fumbles on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
That ain't happening again.
It's not sustainable.
Like, I'm sorry. It's not sustainable. It won't happen again the rest of the season. The clock – here's what I took away from it. Look, Russell was fine. He really was. I was more shocked at the manner in which – and what's concerning to me, but shocked by the manner in which Nathaniel Hackett and their defensive coordinator had kind of coached that game. I mean, first off, I'll go back to training camp preseason. Y'all remember when they played, I think they played the Bills in the preseason?
Yeah.
They look soft. Like, I mean, I'm not questioning the toughness of these men, but they don't play with any physicality. And that showed out early in that game. And again, it was one of those kind of tone-setting things, especially on defense. They did not look like they were bringing what they need to in order to compete at that level in the NFL. The second thing was is there were some times where you could see, and it could have been just the fact that the starters hadn't, you know, played really at all in the preseason and all that, but they just seemed off. And you expect that with the first, you know, your head coach, first-time head coach in offense. But down the stretch, that was what was most shocking. You know, from my time in Seattle, one of the things that Pete Carroll did so well was two-minute and clock management. I mean, I remember sitting in quarterback rooms with Carl Smith and going over the scenarios of, okay, we have this much time left. We have no timeouts. How many plays can you get? All right, three plays, coach. All right, we got this much time. One timeout. How many plays can we get? I mean, literally every day rehearsing this. And so you could walk into that huddle concussed, and you could say, look at the clock and go, all right, we got 22 seconds, no timeouts. We really can only get one play safely, you know, and then maybe a field goal afterwards or a Hail Mary afterwards, right? Like we knew all that time period. Like if you had 16 seconds left, right, that was the bare minimum. Like if you were desperate and you had to make something happen, 16 seconds, you could get up, run a play, clock it, have time for something else, whether it's a field goal, Hail Mary, whatever else. Like that was like the bare minimum, right? I mean, we went through all these scenarios. And Russell has been one of the most clutch quarterbacks in the fourth quarter in 2 minutes of anyone in NFL history. And so to sit there and watch with three timeouts around midfield on a fourth and five, you not burn one right away.
Yeah.
And go, okay,
and then
let's talk
it.
About this.
Didn't burn
let's
it right away and then burnt it. Like, it's not like they did a play. They did.
They just wasted 30 seconds.
And then called timeout.
And so at that point, you should be saying to yourself, okay, we got three timeouts, right? We're going to call a timeout right now. Now, you can't call back-to-back timeouts, obviously. But what you're going to do is you're going to talk in the huddle and say, we're going to try to run some sort of, because he's going to be in shotgun, double silent count, right? A little couple head bobs, something like that. You want the defense to get a jump. You want to try to maybe get one of them to jump off sides, get a free play, all right? And then from there, we're going to try to convert this thing. And then after we convert this thing, we're probably going to have to call another timeout. Regroup, we'll have one timeout left, we'll go from there, but we'll be closer in field goal range. We'll save that last timeout for the field goal. But the fact that like they just sat there and walked to the line and act like they didn't have any clue what they were doing, to me it was an indictment on Nathaniel Hackett and the lack of preparation for getting this team. Like he's kind of one of those guys that everyone loves, the media, because he's high energy and all that stuff. His team wasn't prepared. And it was actually even worse though, for as much as Russell has played, that he let that happen. Like, at some point in your career, when you take it in your own hands, which he has, that's why he's in Denver, you got to be the one to sit out there and go, time out, burn one, and go, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you trying to waste 30 seconds on the clock? Like, I didn't see the sideline erupt like they were mad at Russell for not getting things organized. It seemed like it was more of Nathaniel Hackett and that staff not knowing what the hell they were trying to do. Call time out and talk about it. It wasn't that complicated. They made a very, very simple scenario or situation look so complicated. It made me question everything what this season is going to be for the Denver Broncos.
Well, Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, he tried to explain the decision-making on the 64-yard field goal attempt. Here was the Broncos head coach.
Obviously, I wish we would have gotten a lot closer, but it put us in that weird spot there because we were in the field goal range, but we were on that fourth down situation. Didn't think we were going to get that many yards, so I thought it was a great job by Javonte, and we just made the decision. We want to take our shot there on that one.
So there it is.
You tell me. What do you have a better chance of making, a 64-yard field goal or a fourth and five?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, a fourth and five or a 64-yard field goal?
I saw the numbers. There was somebody who did the math on it, the analytics, and they said that it's like 46% of the time teams convert on a fourth and five at that point in the field, and about 20% of the time they'll make a 64-yard field or something along those lines. It was significantly in favor of you pick up the first down on a fourth and five in that spot.
You guys
did
hear Troy, didn't you? Did you hear Troy, what Troy said?
They couldn't figure out what the hell was happening.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I thought it, but I didn't say it out loud while I was sitting there to myself. But it was like,
they put more trust in it. And now this kind of goes back to the whole
Russell.
You heard that, right? Like it kind of goes back to the whole Seattle thing. Like, oh, let Russ cook, let put it in Russ's hands. But that was the perfect time for Russ to get another play because he was marching. They weren't really stopping him. Get the first down, get out of bounds or whatever, get the timeout, and then figure out what you're going to do from there. The fact that they were like, okay, we're relying on the fact that our kicker can make the kick from here, and we're not even going to put Russ in a position where he has to be either the hero or the goat or the heel, so to speak, in this situation. I thought was when Troy said it, I was like, man, I was thinking it. Now Troy just put it out to the entire world. Now you're going to have to answer questions. Why didn't you trust Russell Wilson?
A minute 11 left. You're at midfield. You've got all three timeouts, and you get one more play in a 64-yard field goal attempt.
That's not good
math. And that's a wrap.
It's not good math.
So even after, the thing that I'm shocked by is even after you wasted the 30 seconds and you call the timeout and it's still 4th and 5, it's like, okay, we have 2 timeouts left. And I don't care if you had 20-some seconds, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you could still go for it here, and you still have enough time with timeouts. You know, the average play takes about 6-7 seconds. And so you could still make it even if you didn't trust Russ necessarily in that scenario, which is it's a little bit hard to believe. I think it was more just the ineptitude of Nathaniel Hack and the coaching staff, never having been in this scenario as a head coach before and understanding how to manage it. But I look back and go, well, even then, you should have just came back out and go, okay, we had time to talk about this. Let's go for it. Let's get this. Again, if I'm Russell and they try to put a field goal kicker out there, I'm going, what? No, man, Brandon, get your ass back on the bench. Like, we might kick one, but it's not right now. Like, that's how you handled that. I'm shocked by the fact that, like, and I said this before, remember about Aaron Rodgers? We were talking about the playoffs, and it was before we were working together, LeVar, but it was no different then. When he's looking over the Green Bay sidelines and those guys, like, try to take him off instead of going for it. I mean, it's at some point in your career, and I know
I'm
it looks
coming
bad.
Off. I'm not coming off.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. We're going for this. We're not doing this.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to take charge. And that's the thing is, Russell has already tried. I mean, and again, I know Seattle and the whole story, and they were trying to move on from him before he was trying to move on from them. And maybe that's what created the fracture. Regardless, you're in Denver now. The rest of this story is going to be painted out what your legacy looks like as a Denver Bronco. And so he's got to take this into his hands as far as what he's going to do moving forward. And last night was a missed opportunity.
And it also feels like this is the coaching debut for Nathaniel Hackett and he struggles in these moments. Like Brian Billick talked about it before, thinking he was really prepared and he had studied and all this stuff. And then he got to become a head coach and he realized there were other things that he didn't factor into it. And he just sort of had to learn to adapt to all of that stuff. The problem for Nathaniel Hackett is, now, because everybody saw it and it played out on national TV, there's going to be questions about this guy moving forward.
Yep.
Like no matter what, it's just like Brandon Staley last year with his decision-making. That became the storyline of the offseason going into this year. The entire year, Nathaniel Hackett is going to be questioned now. Hey, we've seen this play out before. National television. Are we sure he's going to know what to do with the clock here? And now they've been put in this spot.
You know what I kept thinking watching that game? Boy, Denver misses Vic Fangio. Like, watching that defense and just watching the overall the outcome of the game, I'm going, if Vic Fangio is there, I feel like there's a different outcome here. Like I really do. And it's odd because with Nathaniel Hackett, you would have thought they would have put that on Russ's shoulders to get the first down and all that. With Vic Fangio, I know they would have because he was saying, like, this is the guy that they were away from being a successful football team. And trust me, he was waiting for the moment during his tenure in Denver to have a quarterback that he could say, no, you go get the first down on 4th and 5, drive us down further so we can have a more makeable field goal to go win this thing.
I thought that's why you pay all that money for 4th down and 5.
Yeah.
In the clutch.
I mean, for real.
Right? I mean, isn't that why you got the 3-bedroom home that's 100,000 square feet, like,
right,
to deliver on 4th and 5?
You know what?
4 bedrooms, 12 baths.
That's why you wear a shiny suit out there with shiny shoes and a bow tie.
Just throw another piece into all this. You know, Hackett was hired after the new ownership group took over. And I can promise you, the Walton family, you know, that whole Walmart, the whole big big old conglomerate that Walmart is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm sure they were smart enough to say when they just bought this team, what the hell was that? Like, look, we made our money, you know, through change of Walmart, right? But even we can understand clock management and how this all works. Like, what the hell was that? I think because of the timing in which Nathaniel Hackett was hired and the ownership group took over, that probably lends Hackett to be on a shorter leash. That's my intuition with all this. And I'm not saying that, hey, they're going to fire him after 1 year. But these are the sorts of things where people are keeping a tab, they're keeping receipts of, and they're saying after 1 year, then into year two, if this thing gets ugly or looks ugly and it doesn't look good next year, he gone. That's how this all works out.
I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility he gets clipped after 1 year. If they miss the postseason and ownership goes, we're paying all this money to this guy, we need an improvement here, and Sean Payton's sitting on the sidelines, you don't think they would make a call to Sean Payton?
I mean, 100%. He's got his own office, so you better – and a shiny suit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that ownership group, you know, if they move on from Nathaniel Hackett, who obviously let all that happen with Russell coming in, you just block off the door, you pack up the boxes, you send that crap down the quarterback room. Yep. And you go, yeah, maybe we need to be up here but on our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be your ass.
Time for y'all go to bed.
All this goddamn money we done gave you with that shiny-ass tight suit on, you can't deliver us a 4th and 5.
Hey, you know what looked bad, though? That suit doesn't look the same post-game.
It doesn't.
No, it didn't look the same post-game.
It goes from being, like, you know, like stylish as hell to, like, clownish as hell, right? Like,
It was kind of like the stepbrothers, you know, when they show up in the tuxedos to interview.
Yeah.
Then at the end of it, they're like, dumber. Wait, like, now this isn't very funny. Yeah. Like, yeah. Get out.
When they killed the owl at the little event.
It's
with the champagne cork.
Two pros and a cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how at Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at Discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. All right, so we are going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific. We've got the usuals. We got In Case You Missed It coming up later on. We've also got another edition of Would You Rather. Are we going to get some BQ news coming up later on, or are we going to table it until tomorrow? What are we thinking on the BQ news? Well, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll figure
it out. We are gathering more information on all that stuff so we can bring you the goods. Coming up next, though, from the TireRack.com studios, we've got a problem, and it's one team that's got a problem, and it's one fan base that's got a problem.
I got a problem!
And now a head coach might have a problem. We'll get into that for you. It's an NFL story right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this Bad Religion? Yeah, see? I know my stuff. All right. Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here from the TireRack.com studios. Coming up later on this hour, a little over 15 minutes from now, there is a future Hall of Famer that is demanding change in the NFL. He wants change implemented in the National Football League. We'll get into that for you here in another edition of In Case You Missed It, a little over 15 minutes from now. All right, so the Dallas Cowboys are screwed. Dak Prescott's going to be out for a minimum of 6 weeks. More closer to 8 weeks from some of the reporting out there on the surgery.
And that's what screwed them? Or were they screwed before then?
They probably screwed before then. Yeah, they probably were screwed before. Well, if they would have listened to you, they would have known it. You've been calling Philly for the entire offseason.
I'm just saying, their offense has been a liability since before Dak Prescott's unfortunate departure, right?
How does Micah Parsons feel about it? You've talked to him. Come on.
I mean, I really don't get into all of those things when I speak with them. I mean, it's talking about the obvious. The defense delivers. The defense has become the strength of the team. And they don't have an established running attack. They don't have an established passing game. And they don't have a stable offensive line. It just is what it is. I mean, I wouldn't have said that they – now, based off of Dak Prescott going out, it's like, oh, well, there goes the season. Like, it may be more of there goes the season, you know, but, I mean, their offense was a liability.
It was this year. I mean, here's the thing I'd say is, I mean, based on rankings at least, they were the number one offense in the NFL last year. So, I don't know. Like, then they had their moments. Like, clearly, the way last season ended, that whole two-minute drive, whatever the hell that was – like, that's the liability, right? Like, it's their inability in clutch situations to deliver or find a way. I think moving on this year, the way week one looked like, for sure their defense is kind of taken over as that group. But I don't know that we could, you know, say that based on last year. at least not considering their results and how good their offense was at times. But, I mean, look, the way that game looked, I don't – if Dak was in or not, it wouldn't matter. You know, they got problems. I mean, they have a wide receiver group that, you know, outside of CeeDee Lamb, who they're trying to make him into this number one guy, which you see what that looks like now without Amari Cooper out there. A lot more difficult task. And I don't know that he's got the support around him at the wide receiver spot to take off some of the pressure away from him. You know, outside of that, it's Dalton Schultz, and that's the running backs. It's Zeke and Tony Pollard. That's about it. Well, and that offensive line, as you touched on, I mean, it's made a transition now. You don't have Tron Smith. It's Tyler Smith, you know, different with a rookie there. McGovern's out. I mean, there's just all these issues now that they're facing, and I think they're going to have a hard time, you know, getting back to being the number one offense in the league.
I just think that those stats were misleading because they didn't win big games. It's like they had great stats and they won games, but they didn't win big games. Like, I don't know. Name a big game off the top of my head. I can't think of.
Well, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Like, they won the division last year, so it's not like they didn't win big games. Like, they beat Philly twice.
I mean, big games.
But I'm saying, like, if we're saying Philly's the team to
this
beat
year,
they swept them last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on what you view as a big game.
Well, I'm basing Philly's success off of their offseason. And they were close in some regards. They had a running attack. They didn't have a passing attack. And I think they went and addressed that pretty aggressively. But in terms of last year, big games, like as in like the opener, you see them in a game against Tampa last year. It's like you felt as though they were going to see each other at some point. But you know what? They lost.
But here's the problem is you can't put it all on the offense. I mean, they almost scored 30 points now.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. And again, statistically speaking, last year you would say coming into this year, this should be a pretty balanced team.
Yeah.
And they should be able to, you know, if in some cases, cruise to an NFC title, not just win one. They should be able to cruise to an NFC East title and see where they're going from there. It just doesn't – this team just hasn't shown that they can separate themselves in the wash. Like when we start getting into the more elite teams that were out there last year. Now this year I think that there's more of an opportunity, but they stink. Like I don't think that they're going to be good enough, but this is an opportunity this year. I mean, I think we saw a lot of parity on Sunday. Like, okay, you know, there is still the opportunity. Like, I don't look at any team right now today and say, okay, here's the most dominant team in the NFC. So there is the opportunity. I just don't think that it's Dallas and what they got going on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, well, Stephen Jones, I mean, the one consistent there in Dallas is the fact that the Joneses, they love to do radio hits. Stephen Jones is on with the Fan in Dallas, and he had a little bit of optimism yesterday about his quarterback.
We feel very confident he'll be back. We just don't know that time frame right now.
Is there any concern with what happened in 2020, the back half of maybe last year and now this, that Dak is injury prone?
No, I think Dak is built to last. I think, you know, obviously those hand injuries with quarterbacks in pockets are tough ones. And I don't think he's injury prone and feel like he'll rebound from this. He's a great leader. He'll be out there leading the charge. I know he won't miss anything. And I think great things are ahead of Dak.
So there's a little bit of optimism there. So what's the plan of quarterback?
He sounded very subdued to me. Yeah.
Hold
me.
On for a second.
Very somber.
He's going to be out at least 6 weeks. At least.
November.
I mean, we don't know what type of fracture it was on his thumb, but I could tell you regardless, it's his throwing hand. And it's going to take at least 6 weeks for that bone to try to heal and to feel like he's going to be able to grip a football again, at least. Probably longer. Like, this is a scenario where we saw it happen last year with Russell Wilson with his mallet finger, and he was on an aggressive track to come back. And what happened when he came back? Came back too soon, didn't look the same. It's gonna happen to Dak if that's the case. Like, I would bank on, like, if he comes back before 6 weeks, that's concerning in the sense of I don't know what to expect of the pass game because it looked bad as it was. I mean, based on what their pass game looked week one, I know the Tampa Bay defense is good. Todd Bowles is one of the better defensive minds. But still, like, I don't want to come back early with that until you're able to be 100%. with a wide receiver group that outside of CeeDee Lamb, I'm not sure really threatens many people.
The feeling is week 10 is after the bye week.
After the bye.
November 13th, they're at Green Bay. And that's the most likely spot that Dak Prescott comes back.
Is this crazy?
What are you playing for at that point?
Oh, my God. Can I ask this one?
They're done.
What does Jerry Jones do the moment in time you got to say this season is done? Does he blow it up? Is Zeke out of there? Is Dak out of there? Like, is McCarthy out of there?
Oh, McCarthy, I think, is the first one to go.
Blow it up?
The hard thing about letting go of anyone – is they've got to make admit mistakes. Like, if you want to let go of Zeke, like, you signed him that contract. It's not like you brought in a general manager. Like, that's Stephen Jones, that's you. The hard part about where they're at now is, hey, you didn't have a backup. That's on you. Like, at one point, you had one quarterback on this roster, and when you cut everyone, Cooper Rush and Will Greer, because of, you know, different cap implications and how you wanted to bring him back, but that's on you. Like, you looked at a quarterback who had been hurt before that you're paying a bunch of money and you feel like your roster's in a good spot. You won the division last year. And you didn't go out and find yourself a backup that is insurance for if and when Dak gets hurt. Like, look, Dak's a big guy. He's a strong guy. Freak accidents happen like this. And then other accidents happen because he runs around from time to time. And then the more you leave the pocket, the more subjected you are to getting injured. The Dak has some of that to his game. This is completely on Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones for their team being in this position. Whether it's Mike McCarthy after 1 week already being on the hot seat, whether it's not having a backup, whether it's the roster and you're looking at how much Zeke's getting paid, whatever the case is, if they blow it up, the first person they need to look at is themselves.
Say, do we
need to bring someone in outside of the family to come in and help us make decisions because we're blind to our own mistakes.
They can't do that. They won't. Well, they can, they won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't do that.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on FSR. Coming up next, a future Hall of Famer is demanding change in the NFL. He wants it to happen immediately. We will get into all that for you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now, top of next hour here live from the TireRack.com studios. We are going to hear from one coach who, I don't know if he's making threats, but he is not happy. He is not happy. He hears it all, and we will get into that for you here on FSR. Before we get to another edition of In Case You Missed It, want to let you know we are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code 2PROS for a special offer when you sign up. That's code 2PROS, the number 2PROS, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you In Case You Missed It.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Lee DeLapp.
DeLapp!
Fellas, in case you missed it, on Sunday Night Football, Leonard Fournette laid a vicious chip Micah Parsons.
Why? Why even bring that up? What's breaking news about this?
The reason I bring it up is because Von Miller took to Twitter and said, this block must be taken out of the game. This is the future, and we are just letting the offense tee off on our marquee pass rushers. You can get the job done without this much contact.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. It's not a chop block. I actually thought that that's a badge of honor when you got to deal with multiple guys trying to block you. So I don't know that I'd agree with that.
The hit looked vicious on Micah, in part because you got a 250-pound running back doing that. Like, it's not very often, or there's not many guys who weigh as much as Leonard Fournette and are going to be able to lay a block like that. I'll be honest. I could see from the player safety standpoint how when you see the way Micah fell, he fell back and he fell back into another dude's knee. Like, the whole play looked scary. It looked a little dangerous, especially for one of the young budding stars on defense. But that's football. I mean, it's hard to eliminate every single scenario where there's a dangerous play. It's just the reality of it. And so I don't know how you take out that element of scheme and give offensive lines any shot, because Micah Parsons, Von Miller, LeVar Arrington, whoever you want to throw in the conversation, that's a huge mismatch for any tackle. Like, it more often than not, the tackle's not going to be able to hold up. And so if you take out that element of an offense's counter to that, it's going to change the game in a big way. And unfortunately, like, it's an offensive game. You know, fantasy, the fans, like, people like points. I know that second half last night, I'm not sure was the most entertaining for a lot of fans out there.
I think that's one of those plays that's further down the list of got to do away with that. I mean, take a look at Clinton Portis and Larry Centers, who is the godfather of chip blocking. If you thought that was brutal, let me tell you something. Go check out Larry. And that's a long time ago, so I don't know how much film would be available on YouTube.
Larry Centers, number 37.
Larry Centers.
That's right. That's his number.
Chip block.
That's what I got for you.
The spirit and the soul out of people on the field. So I don't know. I think that's just a part of rite of passage. Like, I agree with Vaughn in the sense that, you know, the way he feels, because he's an elite pass rusher. But for what it's worth, outside of sentimental value, I don't buy it.
Larry Centers, old Phoenix Cardinal.
Number 37.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think he wore number 37.
Yeah, bowling ball
mistaken.
Calves.
Yeah. He wore number 31 his final year with the Patriots, though. I remember that.
That's right. What were his attempts, Super Bowl, stats that year?
You know that I have all this stuff. Just off memory. Like, I don't know any of this stuff. Right. I'm not looking at anything. There's no computers up here in the studio. Right. We're dealing with a Wi-Fi issue. I mean, but what do you want? You want, like, the number? I mean, he had 19 catches for 106 yards his final
year.
That
was another thing. He was a receiving fullback.
He was.
Where did he go to college there, Jonas?
I mean, listen, clearly you know that I'm well aware of where he went to college, and you know that I'm sitting here
such
looking at this
geek
right now. Looking at SF Austin, obviously
it's called
the alum.
Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to confuse people with the wrestler Steve Austin, so I just call it SF Austin.
I don't think it would confuse the Stone Cold.
And the pride of Tatum High School out of Texas.
That's right.
But again,
Tyler, Texas, I believe.
Not even trying to brag here. Just want to let people know that this is the situation. And the reason I know everything about Larry Centers, obviously, is because he wore number 37.
Yeah,
and I followed him religiously throughout his career.
That's right.
So there's nice. That. Okay. What else we got, Lee?
Guys, in case you were wondering, the reported salaries for both Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell for that exhibition boxing match. Well, Le'Veon Bell made $250,000 up front. Adrian Peterson only reportedly made $15,000. That disclosed salary is before pay-per-view incentives and a cut of the ticket sales.
It's very interesting.
Adrian Peterson only made $15,000.
Hey,
so what is that after taxes, Brady? Was that in Florida, though?
It depends on his current.
That was at the Bank of California, LA.
Whew. So he got about $22 to get his snooze button hit by Le'Veon Bell.
It depends on his current income, but look, the pay per view is what could jump that figure up. But man, that's a tough look.
That's,
I mean, you obviously don't take
look.
That fight unless you think you're going to win, because there's not much upside there.
I mean, that right hand had a little bit of thunder and lightning in it. I'll tell you that.
You know,
Le'Veon looked like he's boxed a lot. Like, you look like a legit boxer out there.
What? No, you're right. He put his ass to sleep.
Like, I was watching. I was like, damn.
He faded. He was fading on him.
Yeah.
He definitely put that right hand out there. He's like, you see this right hand? Okay, now I'm going to throw it. Good night.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. What a bummer.
That's one of them NyQuil dips.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 NyQuils for your ass.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.